So come lie on your back. And if it's safe and comfortable for you to lie with your legs long and outstretched, do that. And if it's not safe for you, go ahead and bend your knees, put your feet flat on the floor, and just bring your attention to your breathing. And notice as you move your attention to your breathing, do you begin to manipulate or embellish your breathing in any way? And very simply now, move your attention to your right heel. And notice the weight under this heel. What portion, what aspect of your heel is pressing into the ground? And move your attention to your left heel. And what's it like to keep your attention here? Do you judge what you find? Or do you find it difficult to keep your attention here? Compare and contrast your two heels. And let your attention now move to your right calf, noticing the impression, the shape of the contact in the floor, the size and width, the boundary of the contact. Does your mind wander, or do you stay right here in this calf? And move your attention to your left calf. How does this calf meet the floor? Is there more contact here? If you compare and contrast your two calves, and move your attention to your left thigh. Does it touch the floor, or is it suspended between your left calf and your left buttock? Sense its length and position, its clarity in your awareness. How clearly can you sense this aspect of yourself? And move your attention to your right thigh. Easier to sense this thigh, clearer, easier to stay in this aspect of yourself. Are you still aware of your breathing as you have your awareness in your right thigh? Compare and contrast your two thighs. Same or different aspects that touch the floor? Is the size of the space under one thigh bigger or smaller than the other? Does one feel longer or shorter than the other? very important in this work that we make direct contact with our actual felt experience. Meaning that you're not thinking about the length of your thighs. You know more or less they're the same length. But if you just make contact with your sensations without going through the filter of your thinking mind, what do you find? What do you find when you bring your attention to your right buttock and the right side of your pelvis? What about the left buttock and the left side of your pelvis? Compare and contrast the two sides of your pelvis. And move your attention to your right lower back. Does it touch the floor, or is there a space on this side of your back? How tall does your right lower back feel from the top of the pelvis in back of you to the floating ribs in back of you? How wide is this side of your low back? Move your attention to the left side of your low back. What fine details can you make out and what subtle differences can you feel between the right side of your low back and the left? The right side of the spine in your low back compared to the left side of your spine. The whole space that makes up the width and the breadth of your low back on the one side compared to the other. Maybe there are even differences in how you sense breathing in your low back, one side to the other. Know that it's okay if sometimes you can't make out anything, that it's really difficult for you to sense parts of yourself. Now and then you'll find places like that. With practice, you'll get better at making more and more discriminations. Move your attention to your left rib basket and the way this meets the ground. So the back of the left side of your chest, all the way up to the top of your shoulder. What's the shape of you here? Where in this side of you do you really press into the floor? And what parts of this side of your chest and shoulder don't touch the floor? How wide? How tall? What other sensations can you sense? Move your attention to your other side, the back of the other side of your chest. What do you find here? Your shape, contact with the floor, size. Compare and contrast the two sides. Maybe you notice that you like one side better than the other. Is there a way that you could notice that without it becoming a judgment? Can you just accept what you find just because it's what's true in this moment without any notion of what might be right or wrong, good or bad? without trying to make anything different. Compare and contrast your two arms, hands and fingers. What are the most obvious? What's the biggest difference, the thing that stands out the most when you compare and contrast your two arms? And as you're scanning through your two arms, what is the slightest little difference that's so subtle you're not even sure that it's true, that they're really different, that you're not sure, maybe you're making that up? So you can start to sort for even the most subtle of things. And move your attention to the right side of your neck, feeling the shape of your neck on the right side of your spine. Sensations and length, position of this side of your neck. And move your attention to the other side of your neck. Just stay on this side. Noticing the sensations, position, shape, length, and compare and contrast the two sides. Notice the weight of your head and where your head is making contact with the floor. And observe the length of your spine, from the base of your skull to the tip of your tailbone. From the tip of your tailbone to the base of your skull. And the shape of this column of bones running inside you. And with this lovely quality of attention that you're bringing to yourself, bring your legs to standing so your knees are bent and your feet are flat on the floor. And let your feet be somewhere between the width of your hip joints and the width of your pelvis. And interlace your fingers and place your interlaced hands behind your head. And notice the quality of your attention now that you've begun to move. And bring your arms back down alongside yourself. And what's it like to move with the same quality of attention you had through that scan as you interlace your fingers and place your hands behind your head? And begin to do a movement that would have you lifting your feet off the floor, bringing your knees towards your head and elbows. As you let your elbows come away from the floor, to lift your head and arms and shoulders as though you want to bring your elbows to your knees. Yeah, so the legs and the head and shoulders and arms are coming towards each other all at the same time. So they come towards each other. And then they move away. And so your arms are lifting your head. And just feel how you do this. What do you do? Do you hold your breath? Do you go as far as you can? Do your knees get close together? Do your knees get wider apart? Do you pull on your head? Do you breathe out when you do this? Do you breathe in? How do you do this? And then leave that and lengthen out. So throughout this lesson, there'll be a lot of engaging of your abdominals. And there's this interesting thing in this Feldenkrais work about doing things easy and effortlessly. And at the same time, there are movements that demand quite powerful engagement of musculature. So how do we engage ourselves with power easefully, effortlessly? So there's something to learn about how we can move with greater quality, whether it's a very delicate movement or a very powerful movement. And examples that you might be able to think of are the most graceful, powerful dancers you've ever seen. And the ones that are exquisite to watch are the ones who exude this power with absolute grace. It looks effortless. And it's the same with athletes, the greatest athletes. So I'm going to invite you to do these movements with a feeling of effortlessness, even as you do these strong contractions in your abdominals. And one of the things to look for is your breathing. That you don't find that your breathing is held, or that your jaw is clenched, or that your anus is slammed shut. Yeah, that there can be changes in tone through our whole being, but there isn't this feeling of gripping. So bring your legs to standing again. Interlace your fingers behind your head. And begin to do a similar movement, but this time just your right leg is coming into the air, and you're bringing the tip of your right elbow as you lift your head and arms to the tip, the very point of your right knee. So your hands are truly behind your head, and your head is cradled in your hands, but don't pull on your head. To make the work easier in your neck muscles, it's nice to give some of the weight of your head to your hands, but the power is not by pulling with your arms to haul your head up. That just stretches and creates the potential for injury in your neck tissues. So you can give some of the weight to your hands, and yeah, your hands are helping, but the power comes from deep inside your belly. And be thinking of the point of the elbow coming to the point of the knee. And there's no need to touch. No need at all to touch. In one of the versions of this lesson that Moshe Feldenkrais teaches, he says, if it takes more effort than it takes for you to lift your finger and bring it to your nose, don't do it. Isn't that incredible that you could do this with the same amount of effort it takes you to touch the tip of your nose? And feel the shape of yourself. Now, as you do this, intend to lift your shoulders. So you're lifting your head and your shoulders. And really orient towards the very, very most tippy tip of your elbow coming to the tip of your knee. And then begin to bring your left elbow, the tip of your left elbow, to the tip of your knee. Same knee, right knee. Yep, sorry, I could have been clearer about that. So the left elbow is coming to the right knee. Breathe out. As you do the movement, breathe out so that you have lots of space in the chest to let the chest fold. It's about how we're folding. Remember throughout these lessons that you want to rest whenever you feel you need to rest, and then come back to the lesson when you want to come back to the lesson. Yeah? So it's not about, can I do a million sit-ups? It's really about giving yourself a chance to feel how you do things and to do them enough that you can let the unconscious take over as well. Sometimes, yeah, you feel what you feel, but it's not till an hour later and sometimes 2 days later where you realize, oh my goodness, I'm kind of moving a little differently than I used to. That can happen too. And when you have had enough, leave it, stretch out, and just rest. Because there's more. Just rest. Lengthen out. And as you're lengthening out, notice if having done this with just the right leg, if there's some difference in you compared to the beginning of the lesson, in how you sense your relationship with the ground or the shape within yourself. And bring your legs to standing once again. And interlace your fingers non-habitually. What does that mean? If you don't know what it means, just interlace your fingers the way you always do. And you'll notice if you look at your hands that one of your thumbs and one of your index fingers, either the right or the left, is closer to you. Yeah? Closer to your head if you're looking at them. So you're going to move your fingers over one, all over one, so that it's the other hand's fingers that are closer to you. You're going to interlace your fingers the way the other half of the world interlaces their fingers. And place your hands behind your head that way. And begin to explore bringing the tip of your left elbow to the tip of your left knee. And again, there's absolutely no need to touch. So don't touch. So you're exploring the left elbow coming to the left knee. And it's very particular. This notion, what's the difference, to really get clear in how you think of the trajectory when you think of the tip of the elbow coming to the tip of the knee. Breathing out as you lift and in as you lower. Resting whenever you need to. And what is it? What difference does it make in terms of getting this orientation of tip to tip if you think of your shoulder blades, your shoulders coming away from the floor? And if you don't attend to the shoulders coming away from the floor, what does that do with the trajectory of the movement? And then begin to explore bringing the right elbow to the left knee. And again, the head is folding as well, and it's lifting. The hands help the head, but don't pull on your neck. It's the belly, it's the strong, powerful middle of you that is folding you. And as much as you're engaging your belly to lift your shoulders, you're also engaging your belly to bring your knee towards your elbow. So it's not just the leg, and it's not just the arms. And then leave that and lengthen out, arms alongside yourself. Notice how you're lying on the floor now. Bring your legs to standing if you'd like to do some more. And place your left hand behind your head. And bring your right knee over your chest and get a hold below the kneecap with your right hand. Below the kneecap, not on the thigh, not on the back of the leg, on your shin, below your kneecap. So let the knee stay folded, let the foot drop, and your fingers will be pointing to the left. Yeah. So your hand is on top of your shin, below your kneecap. Yeah, your thumb will be really close to the bottom of your kneecap. Now you've got it. And slowly, gently, begin to fold yourself again on the out-breath, like you want to bring your knee to your forehead and your forehead towards your knee. Don't touch. Just that trajectory. Don't touch. How can that become easier? Middle of your forehead to the tip of your knee. So, of course, the hands are helping, and they're just helping as a guide and to help take the weight of the head, but the power is not in the pulling of the head. The power is in your middle. So they go towards each other as you breathe out and fold. Breathing out as you lift. So how can this become easier? So that each repetition, you do it with greater facility, more grace, more effortlessness. Same leg, change over your hands. Forehead to knee, so the left hand is holding the right knee, and the left hand is holding the right knee, and the right hand is behind the head. And does one end start the motion? Do you start with lifting your head, or do you start with your knee? What if they started simultaneously? So feel what you do. What's your pattern for 2 or 3 repetitions? And then feel, how can I start them at exactly the same time? Use your breath to help get that timing. So the moment you begin to breathe out is the moment everything lifts. Because it's not so much about your head and knee as about this folding in the middle. How do you engage your middle? And then leave that and rest. Each time you're coming to rest, just noticing. If you bring yourself back to a similar position that you were lying in at the beginning of the lesson, how has it changed your lying? And bring your legs to standing again. Right hand behind your head and get a hold of your left knee with your left hand and begin to bring your left knee and your forehead towards each other. This intention of lifting the shoulders. What shape does your back take? What part of your back comes into the floor more? And when you're ready, change hands. How many repetitions is just right for you? Remembering that if you haven't done enough repetitions for your curiosity's sake, for your interest in the movement, and you still want to do more movement, but you can feel physically the demand has gotten a little bit much, you can do repetitions in your imagination. Get really clear about the movement as much as you can imagine it will help you shape the movement in real time. So after you've had a chance to do it with your hands switched, lengthen out and rest. What are you noticing now? How do you meet the floor? What's your shape? How is your breathing? Bring your legs to standing. Bring both feet from the floor so you can get a hold of both knees. The right hand holding below the right kneecap, the left hand, the left kneecap, just below on the shin. And let your knees be wider than your feet a little bit. And begin to use your hands just as a guide, just to help you a little bit, to bring your knees towards the floor right under your armpits. That's the trajectory, but please don't touch the floor with your knees. So you're drawing your knees in, and they're coming to come on either side of your torso. And then you release. So you do this on the out-breath, and then you let your knees move away from you again. And how can you engage, again, your middle, your belly, to help you with that? And what does it change in the shape of your spine? And then begin to include your head. So you lift your head to look between your legs as your legs come towards the floor behind your armpits. So you breathe out as you fold and think, how long can the back of your spine become? So your knees are wider than your torso. So if you're running into your chest, your knees aren't wide enough. This idea that you're gonna, yeah. And instead of getting all short and compressed in the front, what if you thought of that lengthening in the back? What was required when you were bringing the tip of the elbow to the tip of the knee? And do you do this mostly with just your head, or can you feel the rolling of your pelvis? That your pubic bone could be coming up towards your breastbone as your breastbone goes down towards your pubic bone. Mm-hmm. Great. And then switch it so that you interlace your hands, you choose, habitually or non-habitually. Place those hands behind your head and begin to lift your head and your knees towards each other. And this time, have your knees narrower than your elbows. So your feet and knees are a little narrower than your elbows as they come towards each other. Almost like don't try, don't have any idea of getting anywhere near this, but almost as though you could kind of hug your knees between your two elbows. And feel the difference when you come up. Feel the difference between your right side and your left side. Go slowly enough that you can feel which side of your belly contracts first. So when you initiate the movement, feel that subtle difference between your two sides. One side of the abdomen, almost for everyone, will contract a little ahead of the other side. And you might feel this more for you. Maybe you can't feel it so clearly in your belly, but you can feel in your back that your pelvis is so slightly rolled just to the right of center or just to the left of center. When you've had enough of this, leave it, lengthen your legs out, have a rest. Bring your legs to standing once again. Now this time, bring your right hand behind your left knee. So now you're just below the crease in the back of your knee, and have your thumb under the crease as well. Put your thumb with your fingers. Now turn your face to the right. And with your left hand, get a hold to cradle your head as though you're sort of holding your right ear. So you keep your nose, you're right behind your head, and your nose stays turned to the right. So your left hand is behind your head to cradle your head, your nose turned to the right. So it's almost like if you can, you're going to rest your right ear in your left hand. And now slowly, gently, begin to bring your left knee towards your left ear. And your left ear towards your left knee. And lift both shoulders as you do it. And again, don't pull on your head and neck. Don't pull. Fold, lift. Lengthen the back. Your nose is turned to the right. That's the most important thing. Don't try to touch. To speak of the knee and the ear coming towards each other is just a towards each other. It's not make them touch. And so don't go as far as you can. So stay a little bit less than how far you can go and make that amount so easy that going further is still not as far as you can. Leave that and rest. and switch sides. So your legs are standing, you're turning your head to the left, you're going to get a hold of your right knee with your left hand. You're placing your right hand behind your head to cradle your head, so you're resting your left ear in your right hand, and bring your right knee and left ear towards each other and away. So you're bringing your ear and your knee towards each other and away, softly, gently. And again, the most important thing is that you keep your head turned to the left. Go gently, go slowly. Feel how you initiate the movement now. And it's quite an asymmetrical movement in the belly, isn't it? How can you feel that asymmetry in your belly? It will work differently. What starts first? How does that go through you? No pulling on the head, just feeling that deep engagement. And the more the back of you allows the movement, the easier the movement becomes. When you've had enough, just leave it, lengthen out and rest. Where does your mind go during the rests? Only if you're ready to do more. If you'd like to do more, bring your legs to standing. Just breathe here. Just breathing here with your feet flat. And bring your knees over your chest and cross your arms so that you're bringing your right hand to your left knee and your left hand to your right knee. Your fingers are facing these walls to each side of you. So your arms will be crossed in between your legs. Your arms, your forearms will make an X between your knees. So your knees are apart. And from here, slowly, gently, begin to bring your knees towards your shoulders. And just do it from below. How can you activate the middle of you? Let your knees be relaxed so your feet dangle towards your buttocks. Don't hold your feet up. So let your knees be completely bent. And you're not holding behind the knee in the crease. You're holding the shin below the kneecap. And then fold into this movement a lifting of your head. When your arms are crossed this way, which of your shoulders lifts higher? does your pelvis start to roll up exactly symmetrically, or is it a little asymmetrically? And then when you're ready, cross your arms over the other way. Easier to get a hold of your knees here, or a little more challenging? And now, as you fold up, now which shoulder lifts a little bit first, a little bit more? Which way does your pelvis roll up? What difference does it make to have your hands crossed, your arms crossed this way compared to the other? Do you want to go back and check the other one out? What stops you from doing that? Go back and compare. See if you can feel the difference. If you feel a question or a curiosity arising, you can follow it. When you've had enough of it, leave it, lengthen out, and rest. Just as you can rest whenever you want, explore your curiosities whenever you want. Just as you can just do repetitions in your imagination, if that will serve your learning better, you can also choose to stop doing a lesson or not do a variation when you need more rest or when you've had enough. So only if you would like to do more and you feel it's in your best interest to do more, bring your legs to standing. And bring your knees and ankles and feet right together and touching. And bring your knees over your chest and bring your right arm behind your knees to get a hold of both legs, right behind the creases of your knees, right around to get both legs. Your right arm, underneath the knees. Yep, underneath the knees. And bring your left hand behind your head. And begin to bring both knees and your forehead towards each other. And away. Your forehead and your knees towards each other and away. Breathing as you go. Breathe out as you lift the shoulders. You're breathing out as you use your belly primarily to draw your knees towards your forehead. Of course, the arm helps. But you find that deep power deep in your belly. And then pause and lengthen out. What's the trace left in you from doing this somewhat asymmetrical movement? Bring your legs to standing again, touching each other, and switch over the arms. So now the left arm is getting a hold of both legs from behind, the right hand is behind the head, And go ahead and bring the knees towards the forehead and the forehead towards the knees. And again, of course the arms are helping, they're guiding and helping a little bit. But it's the belly bringing the knees to the head and the belly bringing the head to the knees. So they move away from each other, the knees move away and the head move away. And they move towards each other. Both the knees move towards you and the head moves towards your knees. When you've had enough, leave it and lengthen out. Feel the shape that's left in you. And notice now what your breathing is like and the places in yourself where you can sense the movement of the action of breathing. If you'd like to do some more, bring your legs to standing. Bring your right knee over your chest and get a hold of the sole of your right foot with your right hand from the outside. And bring your left hand under your knee. And if you can't reach the underside of your foot with your knee bent, get a hold of your ankle. So cradle the underside of your ankle or your pant leg. And you're holding the top side, the shin side of your knee with your left hand. So below the knee, not under the knee, but on the front of the knee with your left hand. And begin to bring this right knee towards your forehead and away. Just the knee for now. Leave your head alone just for a couple repetitions. Feel the movement from below. And how can you engage your belly so the arms are a help to the belly rather than it all being pulling with the arms? And then go ahead and begin to include your head. Lift your head to come to your knee as your knee comes to your head. And then continue to hold the sole of the foot or however you can hold down there with your right arm and bring your left hand behind your head and continue letting your left hand help your head. How does this go through you? It's not that you can do the movement that counts. It's how you do the movement and what you can learn about yourself as you do the movement. What you can learn about how to make things easier, about where you feel yourself working hard, about bringing awareness to, even if it is easy, just exactly how do I do this thing that I'm doing? It's this awareness piece. Otherwise, we could just have, you know, an abs of steel workout. And leave that, lengthen out, feel the effect. So the rest isn't just so that you can, you know, restore the metabolic condition of the muscle cells so they can contract some more. If you're waiting that long for a rest, you've missed the point of these awareness through movement lessons. The rests are for your brain, in particular, so that the quality of your attending and your awareness is what really counts here. I'm absolutely not against strengthening programs. It's good for us all to have some strength, but so often we can be wasting so much of our effort because we're so unaware of how we do what we do. But I love hard workouts. I do them frequently. But the fun for me, it was very funny when I was in Perth doing a bit of work and my colleague's husband, in my first few days there, I had never met him, so we go out for brunch one morning when my colleague had a meeting. And he's kind of making fun of all the spandexed people at this place because it was along the beach there on the coasts of Australia, and all the triathletes love going there to train. So the cyclists and whatnot are there, and they're wearing all this Lycra. So I had to tell him. I said, Graham, I said, I'm one of those people. I even brought mine with me. I'll have to have a little fashion. He's like, no, you don't do that. Wear your Lycra to ride your bike. I said, you bet I do. I'd like to see you ride 100K without wearing a proper cycling shorts. And so what's interesting to me, because, you know, we had this discussion about, well, what drives you? What makes you like that? And one of the things that's so interesting to me, he's an artist, he's a painter and a musician. And I said, you know what? It's kind of like in my own personal little performance art. And so when I'm in the midst of a hard workout, I actually, it's partly kind of fun to feel the quality of my movements. Can I make this, you know, sprint on my bike beautiful? Now, to lots of people, that can sound ridiculous, but it gave him pause. He thought about that. And I said, I just do it for my own pleasure that way. And of course, for me, I do have I'm a little bit of that junkie for working out hard and feeling how hard I can push myself. And the feeling, that feeling can be good, too. And when I feel really fit, it feels great. But there is that other little element, and Feldenkrais has helped with that a lot. What's my form? What's the quality of my movement as I'm working at the edge of my capacity? So just with that in mind, that this is not an abs of steel workout. If you want to do some more, bring your legs to standing. And bring your left hand to the sole of your left foot. If you can't quite get a hold of it, that's fine. You can get a hold of the back of your ankle or your pant leg as far down your leg as you can get, or hold your sock. Bring your right hand to the left knee, just below the left kneecap on your shin, and begin to bring your knee towards your head. Don't lift your head at first. Just feel what it is to get the movement from below, to feel that the pelvis could roll a little bit as the hip folds. How can you curl your spine from below? And then go ahead and fold the lifting of your head and shoulders into this movement a few times. Not forcefully, not fast. Think of the quality right from the moment you begin on the out-breath, the moment you begin on that out-breath, that there's this quality as everything folds. Bring the right hand behind your head. Keep holding the sole of your foot or as low down as you can get with your left hand. And let the two hands assist. But feel that elongating along the back of yourself, the letting go of all the muscles in your back. When you've had enough of that, leave it, lengthen out. One last time, bring your legs to standing. Interlace your hands and place them behind your head and feel what it is like now to bring your knees towards your elbows and your elbows towards your knees. And there's something different about this quality of movement. So the feet come off the floor and feel that both ends can fold. How does this move through you now? Is it a little easier for you to get closer? And leave that. Lengthen out. Take one last little view of how you're lying on the floor and the quality of your breathing, the length and shape of your spine. And maintaining this quality, roll to your side and come to standing. And just without changing anything, really these first moments upon coming to standing, notice your standing. The very first impressions, those first moments can be really important because oftentimes our habits can be pretty persuasive and rush in. Take a little stroll through the room. How do you sense your spine, your belly, your back? Great.